So good to be with you this evening and to, I think that's turned on. We're going to discuss this evening a very familiar passage. I'd encourage you to turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. You know, oftentimes we hear the word challenge. In fact, a few years ago, I don't know if you remember this or not, but for some medical research and other things, they had the water bucket challenge. And of course, the water bucket challenge is you were challenged to take a water bucket and pour ice cold water over the top of your head. Now, that wouldn't be too hard in Florida when it's 90 degrees. But it was very difficult in Chicago at 35 degrees. But it seems people are often up to a challenge. So this evening, I am going to share with you our daily challenge. Maybe we didn't know we are in a daily challenge, but you will know tonight after our study that you and I, as God's children, we are in a daily challenge. And we're going to learn of that daily challenge if you turn with me to Ephesians and Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 15 through 17. Let's read those together. I'm using the New King James. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Okay, from these verses, here's what we find out. Verse 15, we're told to walk circumspectly. When? Daily, each and every day. Verse 16, we're to redeem the time or make the best use of our time. My question to you, when? Daily. And we look at verse 16, or verse 17, we find that we need to, 16, the days are evil. Is there ever a day you wake up that you're not faced with some sort of evil? Whether it be an evil from another person, or evil possibly coming in through your TV set. But we have evil that we're faced with how often? Daily. So we're going to talk about our daily challenge that we are dealing with. And let's talk first about the days are evil. The days were evil in the first century. The days are evil today. Nothing has changed. Possibly for us today, getting a little worse in America than what it did. But they were evil in the first century. Let's turn to some passages as we talk about evil. And here we find the verse, he might deliver us from this present evil age. Let's go to Galatians chapter 1 and verses 3 through 5. Galatians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. There it states, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of God the Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, here's how we do it. You know, see, we read that passage. You've read that passage before. But did you ever stop to think for a moment? Go back to verse 4. To deliver us from what? This present evil. Evil age. Let me ask you this. Is the age still evil? Do we still have evil around it? Remember, when we talk about redeeming the time, we talk about the days are evil. Let's go to another passage as we talk about this. Let's go to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 19. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 19, our daily challenge. Here we have recorded for us, as John writes to the brethren there, chapter 5 and verse 19, a very simple passage, but nevertheless a principle that we must not forget. It states there, we know that we are of God. And listen to what it says, New King James, the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. Of course, that would be the devil, right? Now, the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. Is that still happening today? Does the wicked one still have that type of control of those in the world? Why? Remember, we're in Ephesians 5:16, the days are evil. Again, let's go to another passage. Let's go to the third passage, Romans chapter 1, and Romans chapter 1, verses 28 through 32. Romans chapter 1, verses 28 through 32. What we're showing, and again, this is not an exhaustive list, but a very simple, clear list, showing that today, in 2023, evil still abounds. And it's a challenge as we have to face that evil. It states in verse 28, it says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge," notice it goes not, that's the problem. Evil is abound because what don't people like? They don't like to retain God in their knowledge. Did you ever stop to think? Think about America. The farther away we turn from the teachings of God, do we become better or do we become worse? And the answer is we become worse, correct? And though we still sell an abundance of Bibles, let's face it, a lot of people aren't studying those Bibles. And it's because they don't like to retain God. They don't want to be told what to do. Now, what happens? Well, according to Romans, it says, God gave them over to a debased mind and to do those things which are not fitting. And of course, look in verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve those who practice them. In other words, it's a, come on, do it with me. So it's a kind of situation where people go astray. So remember we started in Ephesians? The days are evil. Let me ask you this. Are the days still evil? So would that be a daily challenge? And that is to face the evil days. One more passage before we move on to the next point. Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Timothy chapter 3. So when you wake up tomorrow, whether you want to accept it or not, the fact is the days are evil. And you're going to be faced with some evil. You might be tempted by some evil, but there's evil is going to be out there. Wouldn't it have been nice had God put a little cocoon around us that we weren't affected by any of that? But he didn't. The days are evil because God has allowed man to make his own freedom of choice, and most choose not to serve God. And in not serving God, we go in the wrong direction. And those of us who are serving God are going to have to deal with that on a daily basis. The challenge, the days are evil. Last passage on that, as we look in the book of Timothy, 2 Timothy, and we find chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. But know this, that in last days, perilous times will come. Now, we are in the last days. That's a whole different lesson, but the last days began on the day of Pentecost. And so they were in the last days, we are in the last days. Last days, as I understand the scriptures, is the last dispensation of time till when Christ comes back. After Christ had died and risen to heaven, that began the last days. Now, as we look at verse 2, notice perilous times will come, verse 1. Why will perilous time come? For men will be. Again, it goes back to mankind. So understand, when I talk about the days are evil, God didn't create this evil. Man does. And you're in a world where evil is present on a daily basis. You are challenged not to get caught up on an evil on a daily basis. Men shall be, and then what does it say? Well, they will be lovers of themselves. Is that true today? Are people lovers of themselves today? Okay, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, again, disobedience to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanders, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good. I want to stop on this brutal one because I watched a news story the other night. And the man and woman were minding their own business. They were just coming from a wedding. And some guy killed the man. didn't even know the man, but killed the man. How sad. That's brutal, my friends. Now, I'm not wishing that on any of you, and hopefully we'll never face with that. But there is evil out there, and if you don't think that's so, it's time to wake up. The days are evil. Now, it goes on to state, which is interesting to me, and verse 4, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Now, here's the interesting verse to me. Could have a whole lesson on this. Verse 5, having the form of godliness. Ask you a question. Who's having the form of godliness? Those we just spoke of in verses 1 through 4. So now we've got people who have a form of godliness that are participating in this evil. Are the days evil, 2023? Yes. And that's what it says. Days are evil. Now, that's a daily challenge. The only way you're not going to be challenged by evil is you kind of cocoon yourself into your bedroom, but that's not a way to live. But if you do that, don't turn on the TV because you'll see evil there. Don't turn on the radio because you might hear evil there. And be careful what books you read because you might be evil there. So again, are the days evil? Absolutely. Then as we looked at Ephesians chapter 5, it tells us redeeming the time. Or some version says, the English Standard Version, which I like, making the best use of the time. And quite frankly, that is a challenge. That is a challenge, I would think, to all of us at some point of time in our life, that we don't make the best use of our time. And why? Well, first of all, because the days are evil. And if the days are evil, I need to make the best use of my time that God would be pleased with me. Oh, and not only that, I don't know how much time I have. Do you? I don't know that. I know I often tell my wife this, and I'm not trying to make her feel bad. In fact, she half the time ignores me. I said, well, now, if I don't wake up tomorrow, we love each other. And she said, just quit saying that. But factually, could that happen? Could that happen that you, in fact, if God asked me, that's the way I want to go. There's two ways. If God gave me the choice, there's two ways I would like to eliminate my time on this earth. Just go to sleep one night and never wake up. But even better than that, the second way I'd like to go, have a massive heart attack right now while I'm preaching. What better way to go to be in the presence of other Christians proclaiming God's word and you go to heaven? But God doesn't give me that choice. The point is this. We need to make the best use of our time. Like I said, my son says I'm going to live to 100. And if I do, I'm going to track him down. And Psalms 39. In Psalms 39, verses 4 and 5. Now, we have some young people here. And I remember when I was young. It's so funny because when you're young, when you're very young, you're always looking to get older. For instance, my pre-teenagers and the grandchildren who have become teenagers, they've looked forward to the big key, I can't wait till I'm 16. Parents don't like that, but they do, because at 16, they can go get their driver's license. Now, what they've learned, you might get your driver's license, but how are you going to pay for that insurance? That's come up, and that's an interesting thing. But the point is, as you're young, you're always looking forward. I'm looking forward to 18 to get out of high school. I'm looking forward to 22 to get out of college. And you see, they're looking forward. Well, you get a little bit older, you don't keep on saying, I wished. I don't stand before you tonight and say, oh, I wished I were 75. I don't do that. I don't look at things. God willing, I might live to 75. But I don't look for, I can't wait for that day. Oh, yes, I can, because what am I going to be missing at 75? Because I see things dropping off as I'm 69. But the point is this, in Psalms 39 and verses 4 and 5, we find this for us. It says, Lord, make me know my end and what the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am. I go to the exercise club with my long jogging pants And Chet has seen me there. Chet even is brave enough to come to talk to me. He identifies himself with me. I'm not trying to embarrass him. Now, he's strong. But even for him being strong, as human beings, we're frail. Because our time here is short. I remember a time I used to lift weights. That no longer is. We're frail. We get older. At verse 5, it says, "Indeed, you have made my days as handbreadths, and my age is as nothing before you. Certainly, every man at his best state is but a vapor." Now, up north, you always see vapor in the chilly fall mornings. And that vapor doesn't last very long now, does it? And in the big scheme of things, we don't last very long now, do we? So that's a challenge. I need to remind my little pea brain that time is important. I am challenged to redeem the time. Let's go to another passage, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 24 and 25. And 1 Peter chapter 1. Now, I surely don't want this to happen, but it's good seeing each of you tonight, but not a single one of us can guarantee we'll be here next Sunday night. We hope to be. We hope the week goes fine and that we'll be here a week from tonight. But we don't know that now, do we? And 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 24 and 25, "Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass." So again, the glory of man is even shorter than man's life. Isn't that true? Your time of glory is extremely short when you look at the big scheme of things. Then it goes on to state, "The grass withers and the flower falls away, but the word of the Lord," what? "Endures forever." So when we talk about redeeming the time, making the most of our time, using our time wisely, don't waste it always being negative. You ever see people who are always negative? They're not happy about anything. You know people like that? Isn't that sad? What a waste of time. Don't waste it being bitter. Don't waste it trying to get even. You see, because you can't bring that time back. Don't waste it being mad. Again, I go back to driving illustrations because most of us drive. Sometimes people drive like boneheads. And you get mad. And that's silly, because you know what? That person could care less. So as you're upset and mad about that, they've gone and driven and made someone else mad. But they might be as happy as a lark. Don't waste your time on things that are not productive. We're going to look at Philippians in our study in Philippians, and it tells us what to think on. Don't waste it on the problems of the church. We need to deal with problems. But I have a lesson. I don't know if I'll ever give it here, if I revise it. What's right with the church? A lot of my brethren tell me what's wrong with the church. What's right with the church? You redeem the time. Use your thoughts properly. It goes by ever so quickly. And Psalms 90. In Psalms 90, we have recorded for us. Let's go to Psalm 90, verses 10 through 12. I appreciate this time I have with you here. And you know what's a concern of me, of mine, is that I use your time wisely. God has given me this opportunity, this time, to share his message with you. And if I multiply every one of your minutes, that's a whole lot of minutes. I don't want to be up before you wasting your time. I want to make sure that what I share with you will be beneficial for your time. And that's why I challenge you, don't ever minimize the importance of time. In Psalms 90, beginning in verse 10, "The days of our lives are 70. See, I'm still behind that. I'm 69. I'm excited. But then it says, "If by reason of strength they are 80. I had a brother-in-law just turned 90. And one time I read this passage and he was 89. And he brought up to me, "Well, I'm over 80. What's that mean? I said, you're getting close to the end. All right. Yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger, for as for the fear of you and your wrath. So teach us, look at verse 12. So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. That's going to be our third point. So you're challenged. If God gives you a tomorrow, you're challenged. What are you going to do with your time? Now you say, I don't accept the challenge. It doesn't matter whether you accept it or not. The challenge is you're given that time if you're given tomorrow. And when tomorrow's gone, you can never bring tomorrow back. Just like when today is gone, I can't bring it back. That's it. It's gone. Redeeming the time. One more passage. James chapter 4. In James chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. We have recorded here, we're all familiar with this, we've studied this many times. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, I want to stop for a second. Were you like me? Were you like me that when you were in your 20s, you thought someone in their 40s was old? And when you were in your 30s, you thought, man, they're 55 years old. And you heard people talk about Social Security, and you're thinking in your mind, I'm never going to get involved in this Social Security. And lo and behold, there it comes. There it comes. We need to know that you do not know what will happen on the morrow. Then he goes on, verse 15, it says, instead you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or do that. But now you boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. I want to stop here for a moment. For those in our audience who as of yet are not members of the Lord's body, you haven't been baptized for the remission of your sins. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm not trying to threaten you. But don't let time waste away and you never do that which is right. That happens so often, doesn't it? Over the years, I don't know how many funerals I either conducted or was at somebody else conducting the funeral. And have you heard the person say this? If they only had known. You ever hear people talk about it? If they only had known. Brethren, we don't know. So if you're here and outside of the body of Christ, now is the time to make those choices to do that which is right God's way, so that if your days are ended, you redeemed that time wisely. But as we looked at Ephesians, the final point this evening is that we are to walk circumspectly. Now, my vocabulary is not that big, but quite frankly, I don't use the word circumspectly very often, do you? Circumspectly just simply means you're very careful on how you live. You're diligent. I illustrate it this way. Again, go back to an auto illustration. Road construction. Lo and behold, they've got the cones out. You're much more circumspect driving when those cones are on each side of you, are you not? You're not as casual daydreaming because you don't want to hit those silly cones. By the way, I am guilty. On occasion, I have hit those cones. And it's not a fun thing. And sometimes it can become expensive. But the point is, what I'm trying to say, when you're driving at that point, you're circumspect. You're careful because you're paying close attention to what you are doing. Okay, in life, we need to be circumspect. We need to pay attention to what we are doing. Again, why? Evil is out there. Why? My time is running thin. Therefore, I need to make the right choices. And of course, as you look on the chart, to be circumspect, I need to understand the will of God. And Philippians chapter 1, let's go to Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Again, this is a challenge. Oh, I'm not asking you, do you want to keep the challenge? I don't want to ask you to say, do you want to do that? No, you're doing the challenge whether you want to or not. If you're given another day, you've got the challenge to deal with evil. You've got the challenge to make the most of your time. You've got the challenge to live in a way that God would be pleased with us. And Philippians chapter 1, we have recorded for us in verse 27, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Okay, so here it is. I'm in the midst of evil. My time, I have no control how much time I have. So what should I do with that time? Well, I should walk in a conduct that's pleasing to the gospel, right? Now, do you have to do that? No, you can waste your time. You can go and live with God out of the picture. A lot of people do. But then they're disappointed afterwards. And if they do to the end, then we know the consequence of that, do we not? So I need to be circumspect. That requires, turn with me if you will, to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Where, again, Chuck, you use that passage often, and I'll use it quite often even more. It's a very important passage. In Romans chapter 12, we have recorded for us here, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now notice verse 2, and do not be conformed to the world. Why is that? Because Ephesians 5, there's evil. And if you're conformed to the world, you're going to be caught up in evil, right? So don't be conformed to the world. We live in the world. We have to deal with the evil, but don't be conformed to it. And how does that happen? But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In other words, is God pleased? I tell you honestly, when I get up and sit at the edge of my bed and I have to rock myself to get up, when I get up at the edge of the bed, I remind myself, Chuck, you got a challenge today. And the challenge wasn't getting out of bed. The challenge is I'm going to be going out into the world. Will I live in such a way that God would be pleased with me? Didn't I say, will I live in such a way that Lakeland Hills Church would be pleased with me? I love you, brethren, but I'm not concerned about the Lakeland Hills Church. I'm concerned about God. Because guess what? You don't see a lot of the things I do. God sees everything I do. And therefore, the time He's given me, am I learning His will to be the type of person He wants me to be? Again, let's go to another passage. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. Oh, hear that preacher again. And I'm not saying anybody here says that, but I've heard this before. All he does, every lesson, he's like a broken record. Every time he gets someone to preach, somehow he sneaks into it on how you need to study. Well, I'm not trying to sneak. I just told you we're going to talk about study. But it's up to you. But understand, you're in a society that's what? That's evil. You only have so much time, correct? So when are you going to learn God's will to be the type of people that He would want us to be? Right? Makes sense, doesn't it? Scripture, Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will. Oh, and by the way, if we're filled with the knowledge of His will, guess what we're going to get? We're going to get wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of who the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in what? The knowledge of God. Makes sense, doesn't it? It's a challenge. Are you doing it? Well, that's totally up to you. Oh, and don't conclude in your mind, I'm going to get around to it, because you won't do it then. It's a challenge you should be concerned about on a regular, daily basis. It's none of my business how much time you study. I have no authority from the Scriptures to demand of you how much time you study. It's none of my business. But you're going to tell on yourself by how you live. I'm going to tell on myself by how I live. You're going to tell on yourself by how you speak. And likewise for me. And how do I want to live? And how do I want to speak? How do I want to have that wisdom? What God has given me. You know, for teaching and preaching for over 40 years, you think I should know everything. And the older I get, I think the less I know. The more I study, I said, why didn't I pick up on that? So again, we need to use the time wisely. Titus chapter 2. You say, well, I'm glad he's getting done because I don't agree with none of that. Well, you don't have to agree with that. I'm not asking for your agreement. I'm not asking a show of hands who likes this or who's going to do it, because you're going to do it because you're living. You're either going to redeem the time or you're not, but you'll be held accountable for that. You're either going to stand opposed to evil or get caught up in evil. That's going to happen. It's not a matter of, I don't think I'm going to get participate. You're participating. You're either going to be a child of God serving Him or you're not. It's as simple as that. And Titus chapter 2, we have recorded for us here in verses 11 and 12. Very simple passage here, not hard to understand. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Now, how did the grace appear to all men? Through His Son, first of all, right? Through Jesus Christ. But then it says teaching us. You see that in verse 12? Teaching us. Now, what's teaching us? God's grace. See, God's grace is not only God's favor, which that is included, but God's grace teaches us. How does He teach us? Through the word of His grace. What does He teach us? Well, teaching us that denying ungodliness. Why? Because we're in a wicked world. And worldly lusts. Why? Because we're in a wicked world. That we should live soberly, righteously, and godly. What? In this present age. That's just how God wants us to live. Will I do that? No, Chuck, I'm not accepting the challenge. You've accepted the challenge and you're going the wrong direction. That's the problem. The challenge is, I'm not asking you to accept it. I'm telling you it's there daily. With each and every new day, we've got that challenge. So we need to live His way. Also, the idea of walking circumspectly is to walk in wisdom towards those who are without. Turn with me, if you will, to Colossians chapter 4. Now, again, you know, it's hard to reach people because basically for many people, and I'm just saying this by my observation, many people really don't care much about religion. Oh, they'll claim they're religious. They'll claim that Jesus is the Lord, but they're not really religious. They got a little segment of their brain that's religious. But the religion of Christ means to give yourself fully. And it tells me to now to redeem the time, Colossians chapter 4, and verse we have recorded for us here on verse 5. Walk in wisdom towards those who are outside, redeeming the time. And then he talks about one speech. It's interesting, and I'm not trying to embarrass her. I don't understand. Yes, I do. People gravitate more towards Susan than they do me. I don't understand why. She can get in a discussion with people that I wouldn't even attempt to get into. And she has talked to some of our neighbors more than once about going to services. Remember, I think it was a month ago we had a singing, a month or a little bit. So she went to go ask this one neighbor, not next door, but close enough, would you like to go to a singing with us? It was as if my wife was threatening her with poison ivy. No joke, I said, she said to her, do you want to go to a singing with us? No. Okay, we understand. Well, we understand you don't want to sing. I'm not trying to make fun of her, but basically, we have a lot of this. It's hard to redeem the time to those who are outside. So one of the best ways you do it is how you live, how your example is. And this same couple, last week, I went and got her husband. Want to let him know I still like you and maybe there's an opening. Adam, come kill my snake. Hey, there's a snake and I'm deathly afraid of snakes. Get rid of this thing. And we gave him a small token of appreciation. Are we going to reach them? I don't know. We're going to try to be nice to them. We're not going to bombard them that they go and hide each time they see us. But it's, I don't know for you, it's hard to reach people with the truth because most people either think they have it or they don't want it. But nevertheless, we need to redeem the time. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 2. So I'm not saying you shouldn't go and say, do you want to come to service? Yeah, if you get an opportunity, do that. But the best way is they should see it in your life. In 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 2, you are an epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Do you show joy in your life? I understand we can talk about negative things from time to time, and that's not necessarily sinful. But is that your topic of conversation all the time? And if it is, what do you have to offer them? If you are always negative, what do you have to offer them? Because the world is already negative, is it not? Do they see your joy? Do they see your happiness? Do they see your positive nature in a society that has negativism? You're known and read of all men. I don't like paying higher taxes. I don't like paying higher gas prices. And nobody else does. But try to get on some other topics that are more positive. And maybe you'll open the door that they'll want to come to services. I don't know, perhaps. But we need to be the example. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 17. I often laugh, you know. We had this one guy come in some years ago when I was in Chicago. Now, Chicago's a hard place to reach people, like everywhere else. And this man, class, little quotes, was an expert in personal work. I always am impressed with the experts of personal work, so I definitely went. I wanted to hear what the expert had to say. Oh, and it was a beautiful lesson. But I challenged him. I said, you've been that good at that. Why don't you move and come up to Illinois for a few years? We need you. You're the expert. You could teach me, and I could teach others. Long story, he did. He moved up there and found out he was no more of an expert than the rest of us. He had the same struggles we did, trying to reach others. And that's what I'm trying to tell you. There's going to be struggles. Don't give up. Don't get discouraged. Keep on keeping on. And be that example. In Romans chapter 12, in verse 17, repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for the good things in the sight of all men. Be that type of person that God would be pleased with. And then we're coming to the close, Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. We have recorded for us here in Philippians chapter 2. Begin in verse 14. Here it is. Do all things without complaining and disputing. Now, see, I have to remind myself because I've liked college sports. I've got to quit complaining about my team. It's not as good as I wished it would be. Now, I'm not saying we can't talk about that, but I can't always complain and dispute, whether it be that or other things. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you might become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. So let's tie it all together. Are the days evil? Yes. The time we have is the time right now. There's no guarantee of tomorrow. And finally, what are you doing with that time? So I close with this passage this evening. It's Acts chapter 20 and verse 32. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. He's talking to the elders of Ephesus. Commend you to God and the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those that are sanctified. Here's the solution, brethren. Here's the solution to counteract evil. Here's the solution to make wise choices of your time. And here's the blueprint on how to live. It starts by becoming a child of God, repenting of your sins and being baptized for the remission of your sins. And it's true, it's at the point of baptism we come into contact with Christ, but understand, it's at baptism where we come into contact with the blood of Christ. I emphasize, maybe as a broken record, we are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. I come into contact with that blood at baptism. What baptism? The baptism revealed in the New Testament in Acts chapter 2. When they were pricked in their hearts, said, what shall we do? Repent and be baptized. And that day about 3,000 obeyed the gospel. But it's at that point in time they came into contact with the blood of Christ. And that eliminates the silly argument, well, you Church of Christers think that you're saved by baptism. Absolutely not. We are saved by the blood of Christ at the point of baptism. And we continue with the blood of Christ as we walk in the truth, as he's in the truth. The challenge is there, where we meet the challenge as we stand and as we sing.